This episode of the Jason Sloan Radio Show is brought to you by Sportsman America, connecting sportsmen with all things outdoors. Check out their beautiful new website at sportsmanamerica.com.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in for the Jason Sloan Radio Show, powered by Badfish Media. Radio show number 23, and we're going into muskie season in northern Wisconsin, kind of leading up to it. We've had some great weather, and we're happy to have my old partner in crime from the Badfish days, Mr. Mark Lajewski, the all-time money winner for muskie tournaments. How are you doing tonight, Mark?
Oh, I'm doing well.
Well, that's good. So you've been... I would think, you know, with this weather and the way the fish have been biting, you've been out doing some multi-species fishing.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of pan fishing, actually, lately, and it's getting really good right now. Actually, I'm going to head out here right after this. It's been well. I'm getting a lot of big gills, you know, 8 up to 11 inches, and some really nice crappies, too.
Very nice. It's that time of year right now. This is almost the best fishing of the whole year that we see for this 2-3 week period for everything.
Yeah, I would say, you know, between the walleye fishing and the pan fishing and stuff, and even the bass, I mean, yeah, this is a time when you can spend a day on the water and catch just numerous, numerous fish.
Yeah, that's great. So, yeah, with those the pan fish, are you, is it something you're seeing, or are you seeing less of the over-harvest, or are guys still burning them?
It's hard to tell, you know, kind of where I fish, they're kind of hard to target, they're hard to catch, and, but, yeah, I know, actually, I just saw a post online where a guy from Minnesota was, I think he was in Wisconsin or over there, I can't remember, and he had 400-some panfish that the DNR nailed them with. And I got a couple other guys that I know, they're like older guys, and they're out there every single day, you know, just getting their limit, and sometimes double limits, triple limits a day, and that kind of sucks, you know, to see that. So it definitely hurts them, especially this time of year.
Yeah, I think you're seeing more with, you know, from about our age and down, more of the guys are policing themselves and not, you know, if their boat limit's 75 panfish, they're not going to go out and kill 75 big bluegills in a day.
Right. And I like the DNR, you know, that they're starting to enforce the regulations, but, gosh, I think they're a little bit too strict now. You know, they're going, you know, you can only keep 5 fish of one, and that's just kind of, I don't know, that's hardly even worth going for them, you know. I think, you know, a really good panfish limit would be, you know, still a 25 panfish limit, but you're only able to keep 10 of one species, you know, either 10 crappies and 10 gills and like 5 perch or, you know, whatever the ratio may be. You know, it's real hard to go out and target and get, you know, bluegills, crappies, and perch all on the same day sometimes. And I just think that overall would be just like a perfect limit. You know, you can still keep, you know, even 20 panfish, let's say, but only 10 of them can be at one species. You know, I think that'd be a really cool limit to do.
Yeah, I know they've been talking about that, and that's something I was in full agreement with. You know, and, you know, there's certain lakes, you know, it's so tough. I've talked about this before on the show here. It's so tough to put the blanket regulation because there's lakes like out at Fawn Lake there. I mean, they're full of those little bluegills, and you need bluegills out of there. But then you get
I think people make it just be a lot simpler if they were just to do a blanket effect like that and have like a limit like that. You know, one thing like on Fawn there, if I were you, I'd throw some muskies in there. I mean, I think that's the best regulation of panfish, you know, that there is. You know,
if it was legal to do, I would do it.
Sure. But we all know how that goes.
But anyway, so, yeah, just a little bit of background on you. You know, I mean, you've been fishing up here your whole life, obviously lived here your whole life. How'd you kind of get started in fishing?
Oh, gosh, I think my parents took me when I was extremely young, you know, 3-4 years old. And then we lived on a lake. We lived on Monaco Lake at the time, actually. So, yeah, I would just go every day and fish out at the dock. You know, up here there's not a lot of stuff to do. I wasn't big into sports, stuff like that, so I you know, just fished every day. And, I mean, I was fishing by myself when I was 6 years old. So, Just got accustomed to it from a very young age like that.
Right, yeah, that's kind of how a lot of us got going at a very young age. And then, you know, kind of...
Jason.
Yeah.
Okay, I can hear you now. I couldn't hear you there for a second.
All right, sorry about that. I'll ask that question again. What kind of led you to target and specialize in muskies?
When I was fishing, I'd fish off the dock. You know, I mean, obviously, I couldn't take out a boat at 6 years old. And I would see the big bastards cruising, you know, cruising around and eating panfish and stuff like that. And, well, I mean, you always want to catch the biggest fish. So that's how I kind of got hooked on it right away. I really wanted to, start catching those fish. So I had them on my little shit, and I couldn't really ever get them in. So I started going out and targeting them. Boy, I was young. I was 8 or 9. I was started taking out a rowboat and targeting muskies, you know, from that age.
Very nice. And then, you know, there's another thing I was going to ask you, which has always kind of interested me, is, you know, you're a four-season outdoorsman, I like to call it. You know, you do the ice fishing, you do the deer hunting and all that. Now, do you think that, you know, that helps you with the next season as far as, you know, you're out after muskies all the time, you're... And if that makes you a better deer hunter, and then if the ice fishing makes you a better angler open water, do you see a correlation?
Oh, well, there's no doubt. Just getting accustomed to what different animals do sometimes relates to other animals, you know, between weather and everything, moon, the whole nine yards. You know, you can learn something deer hunting that you can use fishing, or you can learn something fishing that you can use hunting. You know, especially weather and fronts and stuff like that, you can really put two and two together and know exactly when the best times to hunt and fish are, you know, based off the weather. And then you can use those times for the different things that you target. It definitely helps, you know, a lot in, you
yeah,
know, doing everything like that.
Yeah, that's what I've seen, because usually the best deer hunters are the best ice fishermen, are the best spring walleye fishermen. It just all goes down the line there.
Oh, yeah, and it's a matter of you got to put a lot of time in, you know, you put a lot of time and effort in. Most guys that hunt, fish, you know, all four seasons are the dedicated guys that are putting the time into what they do, and that's why they're doing better than most people that just go open water fishing or, you know, they're just not, you got to be dedicated to the whole outdoor thing, you know, 100%. You really can't do it halfway. I just believe that you could still go out and have a good time and catch fish, don't get me wrong, but when you go all in, I think you can really hone your shit and get to be one of the best.
Yeah, to be really good at anything, you almost have to be obsessive about it, you know, to take it to the next level.
Okay.
And then one thing, to start going into the musky part of the interview here, what do you think, if you had to point your finger at something that you think sets you apart from other anglers? You know, you've obviously had the long list of successes on the tournament trail, and then just fishing for fun or guiding, you've always been very productive. What do you think sets you apart?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's dedication. I guess I always, especially like tournament fishing, you don't want to, I mean, you want to win. That's the whole aspect of doing tournaments. There's no second place, you know, for me. You go out there to win, period. And I think just that determination, is what, you know, you put that extra time and extra effort in, and, you know, just that sheer determination to want to win, I guess is what probably set me apart. And then, I don't know, just fishing, musky fishing especially just came natural. It just seems very easy, you know, where to target these fish, what they want to eat, you know, so on and so forth. And I don't know where that came from. You know, it's probably just a lot of time and effort on the water, but it just seemed natural. It just seemed, once I started musky fishing and started catching them, it just all came together real quick. And, you know, putting patterns together and where these fish are and what they like to eat. And doing stuff different. I didn't want to sit on the shorelines like everybody else did. That's what pushed me out, and then, you know, fishing the deeper water and deeper weed lines and stuff. So I always just felt it was a fish that would, you know, for me be easier to catch because they weren't seeing the pressure. And, I was just getting away from the anglers where I could do my own thing and, try to catch these fish that people weren't targeting.
Yeah, and there's one thing I noticed when I was filming with you guys, you know, doing the tournaments, you know, I jump in the boat and film it. It was, I mean, you guys had a bait in the water every available second of that day. There wasn't a wasted minute. If you ran somewhere and you stopped, you're getting ready to fish, and that trolling motor is going in, the other guy already had the cast in the air. You know, it was that lure, I mean, a lure's in the water, I mean, from the opening gun till you had to leave. And I think that, you know, there was no taking breaks. I mean, eat your lunch while you're running. There was no waste of time.
Oh, I mean, a lot of musky fish is lucky. You know, the more cast you get in, the better chance you have of catching a fish. So if you're in a tournament and you're kind of lazy and screwing around, and I mean, you might get, I'm just using a number, I have no idea, I never kept track of my cast, but you might get like 4,000 casts. And, well, if you're going balls to the wall, you might get 5,000 casts. And that's a lot of time. That is a lot of time to have extra compared to the other guy. It would definitely give you an advantage of catching more fish. I mean, I've caught a fish in the last 5 minutes of, I can't remember how many tournaments I've fished. You know, in the last few minutes that we've caught fish, I've caught fish on my first cast in a tournament. You just never know what's going to happen. And the more times you can get a lure in water, the better chance you have catching fish, obviously. It's not rocket science.
Right. Absolutely. Now, getting into, you know, going into the weekend here, this is a big holiday weekend. You know, everyone's coming up, and there'll be a lot of guys out tossing muskies. Probably still a lot of guys doing the bass panfish, because that's going to be good through the weekend as well. But what have you been seeing for water temps? I know we were seeing low 70s, and I'm thinking with the weather, it should continue. It should be upper 60s into the low 70s for water temps. What have you been seeing there?
Yeah, that's about what I've been seeing. And, yeah, I think it's going to be a decent opener, but keep in mind, you know, opening up here is always tough. I mean, those fish, regardless of water temp, just came off spawn. Especially the females, they are not super active. And, you know, I think it'll be decent. You know, we've only had a week of warm weather. You know, this water shot up from 54 degrees up to 70 a week, and that really messes up, you know, especially a fish like a muskie. You know, I've read some articles where just like a tenth of a degree is like 5 or 10 degrees for us. So you can imagine that water jumps up 10 degrees. That is a major shock for them sometimes. So, you know, keep that in mind. But, you know, opening weekend, I tried a lot of different stuff. I was trying anything from a foot of water out to my deep break lines. Because there's always an active fish. You know, regardless of what's going on, there's always some that are going to bite. So, you know, it's just a matter of moving around, trying different stuff. I've had great luck deep this time of year. All suspended and stuff like that. I think those suspended fish spawn earlier than other fish for some reason. You know, those fish that really live out deep, I think they spawn earlier. I don't think they're like those shallow water fish. You know, because we have had our best luck out suspended for, you know, like bigger fish, you know, this time of year. Compared to shallow.
Yeah, I've been talking about that with Manti and some other guys where, you know, that suspended bite, it's something you can talk about. You know, the night fishing and the suspended bite, there's no secret. And people still aren't going to do it because they don't have the confidence. It's weird. You're not fishing by a shoreline or structure. But my best suspended fishing was always in June. For some reason, that's where they're up high in the water column. You can contact them with a suic or a bucktail, whatever you want to throw. You can present that bait to them. And a lot of guys just don't think, they think of that as a fall technique or something midsummer, but boy, it's good right now.
Oh, that's the best. I don't think there's even a question. You know, up in this area, you know, Canada, Minnesota, obviously may be a little bit different. I'm just speaking for around here, but by far, there's no better time of the year to suspended fish up here than June and maybe early July. After early July, it just seems to really taper off. And those fish kind of get more related. Even those suspended fish, they seem to move up towards those weed lines. And,
right.
But yeah, there's no doubt. I bet out on like Tomahawk Lake early in the year, like this opening day. And we've had 5 fish days out there. Granted, this was a long time ago. We've had 5 fish days fishing deep water. I'm not necessarily saying suspended, but deep rock humps, you know, stuff like that. We caught some damn, like, we'd get nice fish opening weekend out there. And the thing that's cool about it is now they're both out there. You know, who's going to go out there and fish deep rocks on time, you know, opening weekend? There's nobody. And that's what I kind of like about it. You know, doing stuff that's off the beaten path.
Yeah. Now, I don't know what your plans are for the weekend, but if you were going to target the muskies this weekend, What kind of lake type did you go to? I know that or that day that me and Gordy filmed, we were going to do a river system, a deep lake and a shallow lake for one episode, and I think we caught fish on two of them, and you lost one on the deep lake. But
right,
did you hit a little bit of everything?
Yeah, I basically go, basically everywhere. Because like I said, the shallow bite might be going, the deep bite might be going, and the bite might be going, you just don't know. And that's my opening weekend. And I like to get my bass, but, I like to go and fish some deep rubber. I like to go fish shallow a little bit. It's nice. You haven't been out in the water muskie fishing all year. It's nice to go try some different types of stuff. People got all their nice new lures at the shoals and shit. And, it's nice just to go test them out and, try some different patterns. But, that's what I do. I will try deep, we'll try shallow to see where they are. Because, right now you're starting from square one. You don't know exactly where they are yet. technically they're supposed to be up shallow, but sometimes they're not. So, I like to move around a lot. I don't really pound, in one lake. Unless I get something good going, if we're seeing catching fish, I'll stay there all day. But if I'm not, I move. That's what's nice about up here. There's so many lakes. You can be in... out of the water and into another body of water within 5 minutes up here, if you want to, and on two different types of lakes, you can be at a dark, weedy lake, that's, you can't see down 6 inches, and you can move away literally, 2 miles and be into a crystal clear lake with 90 feet of water. That's what's nice. You can try those different techniques.
Right. And that is the beauty of it up here. And then, and especially this time of year, you can fish, be it bass or muskie or walleye, you can fish different lakes where those fish will be at different stages. Like opening weekend here, for walleye, you can fish pre-spawn or post-spawn fish, and it's the same thing here. You can fish, colder water for the muskies or you go to warm water.
All right. Like on tomahawk trout right now, fence, those muskies are probably still spawning if they even aren't spawned yet. Other lakes, they probably spawned, I know down by the Willow up on Cedar Falls there, they were spawning there over 5 weeks ago. So it just, there's a lot of different things you can do. And, muskie spawning is really weird. They say, 52, 54, but I have seen muskie spawning in the mid-40s, and I have seen muskie spawning in the mid-60s. Weather's got a lot to do with it, I think, but... you just never know. That muskie spawn, that temperature range, it's 20 degrees. It's huge. And, I've caught fish on opening weekend that have eggs in them still. And so it's so tough to tell, with the different lakes. And then with the, they spawn, like I said, those temperatures. Like I said, this year at Cedar Falls, there's no way in hell that water was over. No way it was over 48 degrees and those fish were up spawning. Hardcore up spawning. They already had the shit beat out of them. They were going at full bore. And that water was in the mid-40s. So it just depends. That's why it's a good idea, like I said, to try different lakes. Because every lake is different. You can be on one lake that's 60 degrees. Those fish could be done spawning 3-4 weeks. So you can go on a different lake that's 60. They could still be in the process. It's just really tough to tell. It's kind of weird. It's like each lake is like a whole different system. The fish act differently a lot of times.
Yeah, and like you said, I think those suspended fish, they're almost like a different species, and I think they've evolved to the point where, because they haven't been, like, beat up like the shallow fish have, so I think they're a little less bait shy, but I remember being on a lake where all the muskies were spawning. That was the word. Yeah, new buddies that lived on the lake, everything spawned, and we go out, we see there's muskies shallow. We went and road trolled and caught two nice ones that day out in the middle, suspended. So it was like, that'd be the last thing you would think to do because all these fish are shallow, but there was, if you catch two suspended, there's a lot out there.
Well, and muskies especially, they're not like, bluegills and crappies and walleyes. Most of the time, most of them are doing all the same thing. Some are later than others. But muskies are... I have caught muskies in 2 feet of water and in 25 feet of water on the same lake on the same day. Muskies are very unique like that. There's always muskies in the system that are doing something different than the other ones. You get on your patterns, deep weed lines and this and that. The majority of the fish are, but, you can go on a lake and, I know a lot of lakes up here where I've been out fishing where, other friends of mine have been out on the same lake and, we'll get back or talk a day or two later, like, oh, yeah, we caught, like, six of them up in 2 feet of water and bucktails and, I'll be like, well, yeah, I caught six of them, you know, in 20 feet of water on a rubber. You know, and those fish are way different. You can tell they're acting way different. And, you know, that's one unique thing about muskies is they are. Those fish are, they're unique individuals sometimes. They're not all doing the same thing at the same period, you know, same period of time. You know, sometimes, don't get me wrong, sometimes they are. You know, you get a good pattern, and it seems like all the fish in the lake are in one area. But, boy, 9 times out of 10, you'll catch them doing different stuff at, you know, in different, you know, areas on the lake. You know, some will be in 20 feet of water feeding, some will be up in a foot of water feeding. You know, especially this time of year. This is one of those times of year where they can be anywhere. You know, right now, they're not all going to be up in a foot of water. They're not all going to be in 20 feet of water, you know. So, you know, moving around, trying a lot of different stuff this time of year can really pay off.
Right. Okay, I'm going to kind of segue. I've got a question from an emailer that was asking if you still throw the rubber as much as you used to in the bad fish days, and what is it about big rubber that really triggers these fish?
Yeah, I do, but I don't know what's happened, but it seems like it's kind of got a little worn out. I don't know if it's got overthrown a little bit, I'm sure. But it's definitely changed. It's not as productive as it used to be. You know, but it's got its time and place. You know, I am using other rubber baits besides, like, Bulldogs and stuff like that are working well. So, yeah, it's hard to say. It's a unique thing where, you know, I've got some of my old rubber baits that I just caught hundreds of fish on, and, boy, I don't even take them with me anymore because I can't catch shit on them. I don't know if it's conditioning. You know, it's strange. It just seems like every year there's always, like, a hot lure that the fish want. Every year it never fails, whether it's rubber or not. You know, there's always something that's good that stands out, you know, better than anything else. But, you know, the big rubber still works. It's just, you know, there's time and place for it. I usually, you know, when the water warms up and, you know, the fish start moving deep, so I, you know, I might tend to throw it more.
Right. And then I had another emailer question here. It asked, and this is a local kid, Eric, asked this. He wanted to know, how do you get your significant other, Jen, how do you get her to let you go fishing so much?
I don't know. She's known about it ever since we first started dating, so I think she's just kind of used to it. She's got a lot too. She's got a lot of her own shit going on, so it's just kind of like a mutual respect thing for the most part. I've toned it down a hair. You know, I got a lot going on at work and stuff like that. Don't get me wrong, I don't go out in the water every day. But, you know, I have toned it down a hair. I know a lot better now when to go and when not to go. You know, just from experience, you know, even though I still try to go out on some shitty days, you know, I tend to, you know, save up my time a little bit and, you know when the fishing's good and, you know, maybe when to stay home and don't work on the house or whatever. Yeah, no, she's been pretty supportive of it, you know, for the most part. But she knew that going into this. You know, that's what I do.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's no real surprise that you're going to be fishing all the time. And then
exactly.
Got another question here was, what's your opinion of the state of the muskie fishery in northern Wisconsin as far as, like, a trending over the last 10 years? Like, what do you see, changes or the same, or what are you seeing out there?
Unfortunately, it seems like it's really gone down from where it was, you know, even like 10 years ago. I mean, and I talked to a lot of anglers last year, you know, and it just definitely is not like it used to be, and I think it's mainly from pressure. You know, you go on a small lake, and you catch a muskie on a bulldog, medusa, you know, whatever. That fish is basically done for the year. You know, it does happen. Don't get me wrong. You know, fish are caught sometimes multiple times a year, but it's pretty rare. I mean, I know most of us anglers out there can count on one hand, you know, if they've ever caught a muskie that was caught that year. You know, you can tell, you know, if they're pretty tore up in the mouth or whatever. I mean, you get a few here and there, but, boy, it's pretty uncommon. And I just think, you know, some of those lakes, I know some of these lakes I fish a lot. I started seeing some well-known guides out there, and, you know, I never saw them before, and I was out there having 5, 6 fish days whenever I wanted to. It was great, and now they're out there, and they're catching fish, and I've seen my numbers go way down, and I, you know, I think it's just from, you know, more pressure. You know, 10 years ago, I used to go boat landing, and there'd be me there, the one muskie boat, and there'd be 4 walleye boats, which, you know, in my world is awesome, obviously. Now, it's the other way around. I go to landing, there's 6 muskie boats and 1 walleye boat in me, and then, you know, it really decreases your odds. you know, some lakes that I fish, you know, you go out there, you can only get one or two bites a day. That's a pretty good day on those lakes. Well, you put six other anglers out there, and they're getting one or two bites a day. I mean, you obviously, you know, your odds are going to go down. And I think that's a lot of the problem up here. I think it's just these lakes are so damn small. And the more pressure, you know, you're going to get less opportunities at catching fish because other guys are catching them. You know, you're not going to get a muskie to bite a bulldog 5 days a week. It's just, it's not going to happen. It's not going to bite any bait, you know, five times in a week. And I think you're seeing some of that to start taking shape now. And just more and more guides, more and more people getting in the sport, it's increasing every year. And it's definitely going to put a hurt on numbers and size of fish that you catch, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things with that I think we're seeing also, we're not seeing on the back end of that, we're not seeing these other like fish coming up through the system as far as the classes of fish because, A, you've lost a lot of spawning habitat, and the
right.
fish are not naturally reproducing like they were even 15, 20 years ago. A lot of that spawning habitat and cover has been destroyed or removed, and then on top of that, there's no stocking or very limited stocking taking place, so it's kind of a double whammy. There aren't the fish coming up through the system where when I started doing muskies was about the same time you did, and I mean you had 35 inches all over the place.
Right.
I mean it was nothing. I could almost guarantee. I mean multiple 35 inches on any given morning on certain lakes,
right.
and you're not seeing that anymore.
No. Well, and it's a fact. I mean, this may ruffle some feathers, I'm sure, with a lot of people, but it is a known fact. They've done research on it. The DNR, like netting these fish and removing their eggs and putting them back is what's really hurting the spawn. Perfect example, I first learned about it many, many years ago up at Escanaba Research Station. We used to go up there early in the year and fish walleye, fish muskie and stuff because, you know, it's open year-round. And, you know, we were talking, you know, every time we'd stop in and we'd talk to the guys and stuff, it was just interesting hearing, you know, what was going on and reading some of the old records and stuff like that up there. And, you know, they said after, you know, 15 years or so, they really noticed, you know, they're catching 15, 20 muskies every year to go down. And pretty soon, you know, in the top, there's only one good spawning bay, like, in that entire lake. Pretty soon, they're not catching any muskies, and they're like, well, what the fuck, you know, no one's kept these muskies, they're still in here. Where are they? Why aren't they spawning where they're supposed to be? Well, they decided to set a couple muskie nets on their deepest shores where, you know, totally not good for muskie spawning at all, period. And they start catching 15, 20 muskies back in their nets again on these shores. These muskies are not supposed to be spawning. And, you know, these fish, just like catching them, they got conditioned. They didn't want to sit there and get, you know, their eggs taken. I mean, fish, animals are a creature, their only reason is to survive, period. That's what they're on this planet for. And, you know, they get caught one or two times. They know, you know, in their minds, as small as it may be, you know, hey, their reproduction's not working because they're getting fucked with like this. And I think that's really happened in a lot of these lakes. These DNR, none of these fish, years after years, all these bigger fish, they're not coming back to the spawn anymore because they know, like, hey, we're not surviving. We got to move and try to spawn somewhere else because we're getting fucked with. And I've seen them in Aqua, perfect example. You know, you used to go by Bob Bailey's down there. Early when we were kids, I mean, me and going to teenagers, you'd see 40, 50 muskies down there spawning. It was cool as hell. You go down there now, you'd be lucky to see one or two. They're not there anymore. And, you know, like I said, the DNR had their net, and I think messing with those fish so much is basically, you know, move them off the areas where they're not supposed to be spawning. And they've done research on this. I mean, this is proven fact. This is not, you know, something I came up with on my own. You know, this is what's happening with these muskies. It's like a big buck, you know, it's like, you know, you talked before about, you know, coordinated hunting and fishing. You go to a buck's core area 3-4 times, it's fucking gone. It's not going to come back there. It knows its life's in danger, so it's out of there. And I don't think there's a single difference with a muskie. You know, those big females, they get netted once or twice, they're fucking out of there. You know, they don't want to be there. You know, they know that something, it's a negative experience for them. You know, they're going to leave. And I think it's really messed up some of the spawning. I mean, granted, I want to see, you know, them stocking and stuff, but boy, on some of these lakes, I think they'd be better off leaving them alone and just letting those muskies be. And I think they'd get more natural reproduction.
I agree, and there's another aspect to that. They had said that fish, you know, eggs taken to the hatchery and hatched, and you take the 10-inch muskies, dump them back into the lake, those muskies do not know where to go spawn then. They said that it was a theory they had where It's like a goose, a Canada goose that's born in a spot, and then it migrates and it flies right back to that spot to nest, where they think that muskies may have that, where they take all these 10-inch fish and dump them off the boat landing, that the fish do not know where to spawn. And that was a theory that's not proven, but that was another thing, that an artificially hatched fish may not have the success in the spawn that a naturally born fish would.
Right. Oh, yeah, no, I agree with that 100% too. You know, I think it's a good possibility, but, you know, like I said, with taking their eggs, you know, it is a proven fact that, you know, it fucks them, they go somewhere else, you know, that's just spawn, which is bad. Which is really bad.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they, I think, you know, doing more to protect, you know, spawning fish, you know, muskies especially, you know, pike and bass are just killers of muskies, you know, this time of year. They're, you know, muskies hatch, and them little fucking bass are up there just in drones eating the fry. And, you know, I think there's other stuff to do, you know. That's one thing I noticed, you know, between the bass and muskie correlation up here is, you know, we never had the bass up here like we do now, and I really think it's taking a toll on the muskie spawning, on a lot of fish, actually. I think it's really taking a toll. I've, you know, personally seen, you know, like on Tomahawk off Big Sandy, like in end of June, early July, where there are literally, you know, me and buddy were out there muskie fishing one evening, and there was these swarms of big fish, and there was just all these fry, and they were, it looked like the ocean. I mean, it literally looked like the ocean where tarpon and stuff were eating the bait fish. Exact same scenario on a smaller scale, obviously. Well, we wanted to catch these fish. They looked like decent fish. You know, we thought they were crappies eating the fry. So we had some walleye sitting in the boat, and we threw on some little baits and started catching largemouth, one after the other, anywhere from 8 inches up to 14-inch largemouth. And, I mean, these fish were like fucking piranhas. They were eating this fry. I mean, it was by the millions, and this happened every night. So, I mean, you want to talk about where some fry are going. I mean, these bass, I think, have really taken a toll. You know, as these bass numbers have gone up, I've seen walleye and muskie numbers go down. I really honestly believe the bass have a lot to do with it. I really do. You know, that's, you know, one major thing I've seen, you know, just in fishing up here, you know, in general.
Well, I think that's a big part of it. I mean, I remember when we were kids and you put tip-ups out on Minocqua, how many bass would you catch?
Well, we never caught bass on tip-ups.
Zero. You catch zero. And now, through the ice, early ice, one day, this was like 3 years ago, we had like 30 bass.
Yep. I mean, granted, bass are fun fish. They're sport fish to catch. But boy, I don't think they're a good fishery. I mean, you don't see a fishery that has a great largemouth and muskie and walleye. Like, you know, you see lakes that have a great walleye and muskie population together. But boy, you throw those bass in the mix, and it's—I think it's a problem, and I think the DNR is overlooking it. I really think it's a big problem.
Well, I mean, they've acknowledged that it's a possibility. You know, that's why you have no size limit on bass on the Minocqua chain.
Yeah, all their theories and all that are such bullshit. You know, people are in the water and they see what's going on. You know, I've kept bass and queen bass, and you open up their bellies, and they're like little fucking piranhas. There'll be 20, 30 fish inside of them. You know, I've never cut open a walleye and seen 20, 30 little bluegills inside of it. I've never cut open, well, I cut open a few muskies in my day, but when I was a lot younger, that, you know, fish there died. And most of the fish I catch, I always examine their belly content. Almost every single fish I catch. Just to see what they're eating, you know, it helps me, you know, in the long run. And, you know, muskies, mostly, you know, I've already probably cleaned about 3 muskies my entire life, but I never found a lot of fish inside of them. Very rarely. But, boy, you clean a pike, or you clean a bass, and their stomachs are usually full of fish. You know, one good instance, this is on the Willow, granted we were teenagers, and we caught like a 24-inch pike, if even, it could have been 22, it was a small fish. And you could tell a lot in his belly, so we killed it and cut it open. 29 bluegills and crappies that were about 1.5 inches long inside this thing's belly. And that's in one feeding. You know, this was in one feeding from one little pike. So, you know, you can imagine some of the damage that, you know, pike and bass can do, you know, to a fishery.
Well, yeah, and, well, most of these lakes, the fish, like back when I started guiding, the actual fish was pike, and now it's bass.
Right.
You obviously do not catch near the amount of pike compared to bass. And, you know, I think Gordy was dropping cameras around the one winter, and he said that these weed beds looked like aquariums. There were so many bass.
Oh, yeah, it's just disgusting. You know, I don't mind pikers or predator fish. You know, I don't really mind them, but if they were to regulate them and protect those bigger fish, you know, they could, you know, they could really boost the pike fishery up here. And bass too. I just don't think bass need to be regulated anymore. I think this should just be like a 5-fish limit from there on forward. You know, maybe have a slot. You know, say you can't keep any bass between, you know, 17 to 23 or something like that. You know, try to get some big bass going. But gosh, a lot of people keep them little ones. There's plenty. You know, they're one of the fastest producing fish there is. They're one of the fastest growing fish there is. They get, you know, they get big quick. And, you know, they are fun to catch. Don't get me wrong. You know, I'm not a big bass fisherman. But, you know, for the average guy, you know, it's fun to go out and catch 20, 30 bass a day. You know.
Yeah, it's a good sport fishery, but needs to be controlled.
Right. And there's just too many of them. And that's the thing, you know, think of the Cisco population, too. Up here, I've noticed the Cisco population is way the fuck down. It's not weather. I mean, the weather's been the same for it has for years. You know, you get hot winters and or hot summers and cold winters. You know, it's been like that. They haven't died off, but I just don't know where the Cisco's going. I mean, could the bass have something to do with this? You know, the bass population has gone way up. Our Cisco population's gone way down. Is it coinciding? You know, I'm not going to tell you yes or no, but I think it's possible. I think those bass could be eating Cisco fry. You know, I don't know. It just seems like ever since the bass came around, a lot of things have changed in our fishery.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the fact that, you know, on a lake like Lake Tomahawk that you mentioned, there's bass in every habitat you can imagine. They're around docks in 2 feet of water. They're on weed beds. They're on deep rocks, shallow rocks. They're suspended. We caught them road trolling out there. They're in every portion of the lake is full of bass. So you would think that the Cisco's maybe would be affected.
And they're eating machines. I mean, anybody, you know, you can catch a bass. I don't care, cold front, warm front, day, night. It does not fucking matter. You can always catch a bass. They are always eating. You put something in front of them, they are always eating. You know? They're never, we couldn't go out and catch a bass. It's rare. You know, bluegills, perch, everything are tough. Bass is the easiest fish to catch. I don't think there's a single species in this swims in these lakes that are easier to catch than bass. You know, even, you know, your bigger panfish, they're a hell of a lot more of a challenge than catching a bass. You know, you get a bait within 2 feet of a bass, 9 times out of 10 it's going to bite it. I've caught bass 2 or 3 times in one day on different lures off beds and stuff like that. They're a very ferocious fish. They're willing to bite, you know, pretty much anything that goes by them. So you get some fry to swim by them, I mean, you can't tell me they're not going to, you know, they just nail them, they just maul them. So, you know, I really think that's been a major influence on summer fishing up here is the bass population. A lot of guys may disagree with that, but I mean, I've just seen, you know, things that I've seen and observed firsthand. You know, I'm not just like making this stuff up. I know I've been in the water and I've seen it. I've seen bass suspended out on Tomahawk eating fry. You know, I've seen them up shallow eating fry, and a lot of it. You know, they really, you know, that happens. You know, that doesn't just happen when you're out there. You know, it's happening all day, every day. And, you know, that's a lot. It's a lot of,
One of the things that surprised me was the explosion of the largemouth in Tomahawk, which I never would have thought I'd seen. But, you know, it would be nice to get some kind of a, you know, like you said, to bring those big bass back, you know. I mean, there's big bass in the chain, don't get me wrong, but, you know, it's tough to get them sometimes. I know that some of the largemouth on west end of the chain are a little easier to get, but, you know, to have something where it's no size limit but only 1 over 16, so that, I mean, try to balance that back out to take more of these numerous smaller fish out of the system, because of that. It's a great sport fishery, and it's good to have, but it needs to be balanced a little bit.
Yeah, it'd be nice. You know, I don't mind going out and catching 20-inch bass at all, don't get me wrong. But there's too many of them, and I think it's affecting everything from panfish all the way up to life. You know, I really think it is.
Yeah, I heard the DNR, and I probably mentioned this on the show before, but, you know, the DNR said that it was a radio ad, and they were encouraging people to keep more largemouth. And they had said that statewide, like, it was something like 60% of the walleyes were kept, and like 6% of the bass were kept.
Right.
And it's this mentality, you know, if you cut the bass's throat and throw it in a cooler of ice, and then when you fillet it and you zip the mud line out, it's every bit as good as a crappie, in my opinion, as far as table fish.
They're decent. I caught a big bass. I caught a couple nice bass this weekend. I probably caught three or four smallies that were over 16, and I caught one large. Yeah, I was about 19. But I did look largemouth goldfish. It was big. I mean, it was definitely, it was going to be a trophy fish, so I released it. I think they're fine eating fish. In Canada, I don't know if you were there, but we did a fish farm.
I was there.
Yeah, we had northern and walleye and smallmouth, and I mean, by far, I thought the best tasting fish was the smallie. Well, the smallie and the walleye, I think I did prefer the walleye a little bit more. But the smallie was right there. You know, pike's a good eating fish, and I liked pike the least. You know, the smallmouth bass was excellent up there.
I actually caught all those fish.
No, you might have caught one or two, I guess.
Well, no, but you were musky fishing, and I was
right.
Casting for
a while. No, but when we go for, fish fry up there, we usually would take a half-hour break and we'll just cast, jigs or whatever the hell we want to fish with, just catch something. And, we usually catch bass, and they're awesome. Boy, we were getting small, 13 to 15 inches, and, oh, my God, I mean, tremendous, tremendous eating fish. They were really good. So, I don't know. It's, it all evens out. There ain't much you can really do about it. I haven't spent any more of my time up in Canada and stuff, musky fishing. Really enjoy it. I got a chance to get, 55, 60-inch fish around here. That's pretty unlikely. It's pretty unlikely. I put a lot of time in up here. Pretty unlikely you're going to get a 40, 50-pound fish. I mean, it can happen. It does happen. But, boy, it's pretty rare. It's definitely pretty rare. Every year in Canada, I catch a 40-pounder. I've seen fish, that big and bigger up there. I had a fish on up in Canada a few falls ago that I honestly believe it was 50 pounds plus. I mean, it was the largest fish I ever had on in my life. So I've been spending more time up there. Been fishing out there quite a bit. So, I still fish around here for fun and stuff, but boy, when I really want to go trophy hunting, I've been, heading north for the most part. Hopefully someday it comes back here, but boy, I think it's going to be a while. I think our muskie regulation up here right now, I think that fishery is so fragile, I don't think you should be able to keep a muskie period any lake. I don't think there should be, 55-inch size limit on every single lake up here until these fish get back. I don't think it's going to hurt anything. Muskies are so fragile. They, guys, I really think that catch, what's the word I'm trying to think of here? That delayed mortality, I think it's a lot bigger issue than people realize. Muskies are the biggest pussy fish I know. You drop them in a boat, I tell you what, it's dead. I guarantee you it's dead. They are, I've killed muskies on accident. They are a weak, weak fish when it comes to that. They cannot handle that stress on them. They are just, I don't know what it is, but boy, oh boy, they are, northern, you can cut its gills, let it flop around, and both throw it back, it's fine. A muskie, it's not going to happen. I really think there's a lot more delayed mortality than they realize. I do think
that may be, they said under the best handling, if it's handled perfect, that it's a 5% mortality. Now, you take the amount of tourists that catch them on a bass rod or something, and drop to the bottom of the boat.
I've seen professionals, net the fish, bring it in the boat, it's flopping around, holding it out of the water for 10 minutes. And these guys, they do this, they catch 30, 40, 50 fish a fucking year. And I mean, I guarantee you half of them fish are dying. I guarantee it. They are so delicate. You got a muskie, you bring the bonus spot around by your boat, it's going to die. There's no way. I just know this from fact. I just know this from fishing. Muskies are so weak. And just people think, oh, a fish that swam off straw, it's fine. They have no clue. They have no clue that it could take 5-10 minutes for that fish to die. It could be on its last death kick just trying to get away, and it swims off really strong. Oh, it's fine. And it just buried itself in weed and dies, And fish sink. Fish, when they're let go like that, when they die, they sink. They don't float up to the surface, People are under that impression, we'd see more dead muskies floating. Well, when a fish dies, 95% of the time it does not sink. Or, it does not float. It sinks. It sinks to the bottom. So you don't see these fish that are dying.
Exactly.
And, people just have no clue. And holding them out of the water, and now with, especially with this fucking social media, Facebook bullshit, everybody's got to take a picture of every single thing they catch and hold it on there. Oh, let me make sure I got it for my Facebook page and all this bullshit. Well, let's put more stress on the fish. You know, in Canada, there's a rule, and technically, you are not supposed to even take a picture of a fish that is undersized. You are supposed to immediately release it. Immediately release it. There's a problem with a tournament up there that I was involved with a while ago. And they shut the tournament down before it even started because of that law. You know, because some of the lakes we were fishing were 50-inch size limit. Well, you couldn't take a picture, put a 49-inch fish on a board or a 40-inch fish on a board. You know, you knew it was undersized and fold it up and measure and take a picture of it. You know, it's immediate release of an undersized fish. So, yeah, but now, like I said, with social media and stuff, everybody's got to get a fucking picture and have their kid hold it up and them hold it up. And, you know, even these DNR guys piss me off. I've seen it on Facebook. They're netting these muskies, and they're sitting there holding them up for fucking pictures. That's bullshit. I mean, why are you even taking a picture of that fish? You already stressed the fuck out of that thing, and here, all I got to hold up so I put on my Facebook page. I think it's bullshit. And I know some of the guys, and I will call them all that if I ever see them. It's totally wrong. And then they got friends of theirs going out there with them, you know, that are helping, whether or not DNR, there's friends, they're going out there with them. And then they're holding up, hang on, my fucking dog is digging a hole. And then they're holding up these fish and taking pictures of them. That's bullshit. And they're muskies, and they're killing them. The DNR guys are probably killing these fish by doing that. Not only are they stressed out from the spawn, but now they've been in a net for fucking a day. And now they got to get all their eggs taken out of them, measured, weighed sometimes, and then held up by either the DNR guy or another guy that has no business even touching that fish and taking a picture of it. You know, they wonder why some of these fish are dying and why they're not there anymore. And there's all these things, it's a perfect storm. You know, all these things. So I could go on and on, I guess, about that. But
I know that you're going out in the boat here, so end this. And so you heading out for some panfish tonight or walleyes?
Well, for some bluegills and some crappies. I might cast a walleye in the evening and maybe kill some bass. If I get lucky, we'll see.
Cool. All right, well, hang on the line for a second after I cut this off, and we want to thank Mark Wojewski for stopping by, and as usual, as anticipated, he knocked it out of the park, so thanks again for listening, everyone. That's where she goes, and good luck musky fishing this weekend. Knock him dead. See you next week. Out.
Tell me once more why you're sure you don't need me. Tell me again, but don't think that you'll convince me. Said before falling in love again, you'd rather be dead. 'Cause when someone breaks your heart, you